Blog Talk Radio.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes, y'all remember that? Come on, D-O-B and B-O-I.
Conjunction with the past generation lost in the mix, affected by sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, evangelist missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders from the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the district superintendent is district superintendent and founder and pastor, Pastor Robert I. Sanders II. It's the 8:32 morning hour. Lord, I want to be holy. Lord, I want to be holy just like you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's been so much going on, but I want to give a shout-out to Evangelist Missionary Rosie Fluker. She brought the word in yesterday morning. You know, I'm learning as being a pastor's wife. The 6 years I've been a pastor's wife, I'm seeing a lot of things happen in the church, and I see where our dedication is to the Lord. I was telling my sister yesterday that I was going to demise one of the departments because I'm just tired of playing games. You know, when you get tired of playing games, you get tired of playing games with people. You get tired of playing games with folk doing what they want to do and whatever, you know. And I'm just at a point I can't support anything or anybody when you are really not doing what you were called to do. And it's getting to be redundant. You hear more excuses. You just hear so much stuff. And I'm one that I'm tired. I'm tired of hearing all kind of junk. I'm tired of folks putting other things above God. They don't even put God in the plan. God comes secondly. But then when you're in trouble, you need God to open up doors and make ways to solve problems and work out conditions. I'm learning as a pastor's wife, and I thank God for the experience. I'm going to tell you why, because the experience will let you know who's really saved. A whole lot of folk I'm learning is not saved. So thank you, Evangelist Rosie Fluker, from my home first jurisdiction. You old school was in yesterday. All right, now it's time to take the gloves off. You know, it's been a lot of foolishness going on. And the foolishness is going on between people that are in the ministry. There's been a fight about certain things that is going on. And what it's getting me is that I'm seeing how a lot of folks don't know people. Now, let me explain something to you before I go into my topic. When social media started rising itself to where you have a right to voice your opinion, a right to voice your concern, a right to anything. It's one thing. But what has come about is all I'm seeing is I'm seeing a lot of sanctified folks decide to do what they want to do. And it's becoming against God's word for anybody. As many of us remember back in 2014 when Dr. Earl Carter brought the message about what's going on, it's what's going on. From that point on, a lot of wars have started. A lot of people that we didn't even know about or never heard of, you know, they come on the scene and all they did was support the message. Nobody is talking about anybody personally but the message. But when he taught the message, my husband, my godmother and I, we saw it all. We saw it all from the beginning to the end. And I said, this is the kind of message that we need, and we still support that message. But now, pastors, I'm talking to you this morning because a lot of you, I question your dedication to God. I question your word of understanding that you speak of when it comes to the Bible. I question your ability to minister to anybody. Anytime a preacher will allow sin to be prevalent in his area, then there's a problem with you. I grew up old school. One pastor that I've known all my life did not embark upon foolishness, did not allow foolishness to come into his church. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And I told my husband last night, I said, I'm done. I'm literally done. Gloves off, no more neutral corners. I am tired of men of God that will allow sin to be recognized in your church, and you can care less. I'm going to the Bible before I open up my phone line. I'm going to Psalms 1:1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When you get, let me tell you this, the church is a hospital. But it is not a hospital to harbor sins. It's a hospital to get you free and cleansed from sin. You don't go to church to harbor sin and, oh, we just love sin today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sin is so wonderful. Sin is so prevalent. Sin, we are in love with you. Adultery, we love you. Fornicators, we love you. We love X amount of all. We just love sin. If you love sin, get out of church. Turn your cars in. I'm coming at your heart because I'm tired of you all wasting people's time. Jeez, I will tell you, and I'm coming hard with you, leave these pastors alone. Walk out. They're not trying to live saved. The trials have made them succumb to ungodly territory. They don't care about your soul. Leave them and find a church where you can live and know how to get saved. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people grow. If you sit on the ministry and the pastor loves sin and the pastor supports sin and the pastor engages in sin, you're in the wrong ministry. You had a bunch of fools back in the day, Reverend Ike, that was slick talking, hair curling man, wearing a robe. You know what he saw and everybody picked up? He saw the same thing that he had no business seeing. A lot of these men have seen so much garbage that they don't even know what a clean garbage bag looks like. They've seen so much of it. You are destroying God's people. You are destroying and you're disrespecting God. because you don't care. You literally do not care. You can give a hoot about a soul being lost. How is it that a man could be in the church and turn around and commit suicide and you don't even know? How is it that a man could be in the church and commit murder and your butt know about it, but you don't care? How is it that a man can come in your church and he has sexual transmitted disease and lay up with all your women that he want to get with, and you know he's doing it? How dare you? David had more sense than these men in the church. Leaders, you are destroying the sheaves with your self-righteousness, with your filthy rags. And you wonder why your offering of the church to take care of stuff is going down. Because you love sin. You're in love with it. You're in love with it so much that you got these old burlesque, bubblehead niggas. I'm sorry, I'm just calling what it is. Bubblehead niggas that get on social media and will set your end up, and you too stupid to see it. Where is the spiritual eye? Where is the spiritual sense? You don't love God. You are perpetrating a fraud to get money, and you don't care about souls because the Bible already told you. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That means you don't walk with the ungodly. You don't suck with the ungodly. You don't play canasta and pool and go to the movies with the ungodly. If they're ungodly, you have no business hanging around the ungodly. And some of you church boys, what's wrong with you? I want to ask you a question. What's wrong with you? You say you love God and you fear God, but you want God to bless you. But guess what? God ain't blessing you because you are supporting junk. I ain't talking about no denomination. I'm talking about sin. You love it. You love the smell of it because it fascinates you. And you got people that are destroyed and they are confused. Folk going to church as a ritual every Sunday and don't know why they going. It's common to go. So what? But what are you getting when you go? I don't know. Well, then why are you there? You better off home watching Lifetime. You get more excitement there. And stand in the way of sinners, where the sinners want to get to. And let me tell you something, preachers. For those of you all, stand in the way of sinners. Let me go to the Bible, the scriptures, because see, it's happening, and I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of it. The Bible speaks. It's how you do people. And the thing about it is that when the... you all don't understand where I am this morning. In 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. Let me tell you men and women something, okay? Let me tell you straight out. If I'm not playing with nobody. I'm not playing with you. Because a lot of churches you've been to that screwed your head up. And when they screw your head up, you don't even know how to get out of a situation because you're not seeking God. You're seeking man to help you out. In 1 Corinthians 7:14, it says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Elsewhere, your children unclean, but now they are holy. Let me tell you something. Women, if you're saved and your husband not saved, you better not go to church and leave your spouse sitting at home. You don't go and do what you want to do and come back and want to tear your house up to pieces. Get real. Get real and grow up. And men, the same thing with you. If you go to a church, you bring your wife with you. Women, if you're saved and you profess to be saved, or you want to be saved, if you want to be saved, you bring your spouses with you. You bring your family with you. And you say, I want to be saved. Sit down and learn how to reason together and come and be saved together. Because some of you all went up on the leadership that was already messed up, and you fell into the trap of a leadership belief system, and that messed your freaking head up. I'm going to tell you something, because I've seen it happen before. A preacher, now he wasn't a preacher, he was a deacon, in the church was saved, and the wife wasn't saved. She wanted to be saved. She would hang with a lot of people that was really good folk and whatnot. He worked hard. She was at home. She was a housewife. She did what she was supposed to do. But he was so busy, caught up into the church. I got to be over here. I got to be over there. They looking for me. They got to have me. I'm on this kick. 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 And turn around, and he opened the door for Satan. Don't blame nobody. Don't blame nobody but the devil, because your mind is a filthy rag because of your own self-righteousness. And that's what's going on. When I went through with my girlfriend, she told me, she said, Trina, I'm trying to do this. My other girlfriend and I, we were going with her to church. We told her about holiness. We told her about righteousness. And the fool was too stupid to see that Satan was sitting there. Open up a door and wreck their marriage. They came back together. But yeah, this time it got worse. But what the problem was, she didn't want to be at that place. She wanted to go somewhere else. But no, his man was right there. But now the thing about it is that there are transitions that you have to take in order to save your household. I know one preacher that refused to go to his daddy's church because he knows that his mama don't like his wife. Okay? And you know what? To save his marriage and his house, he goes somewhere else. So they can live a safe life and keep their family together. You don't become addicted to no denomination that your family is stashed away. Because if you are claiming for salvation, you get your head out your behind and get your head out the air. And you come together that the Bible say, not your theory, because your theory don't mean nothing. It's what you're trying to do. And see, I've seen men like that in the church be slick. They want to fornicate anyway. Because they're unhappy with their own selves. And everybody else is talking. No, when you need help, you go on your knees and tell God to clean your behind up. Take all your clothes off when everybody go and lay out before God and say, God, my man is messed up. It's corroded. It's filthy. It's nasty. I want my mind and my heart to be right. That's what you do. You don't sit up and make decisions and you think everybody's supposed to pop into your program. No, that ain't God's way. Y'all preachers and pastors, you make me sick. Always got something to be on your feelings. Y'all ain't never got saved the right way. And you wonder why you going through hell. You ain't trying to get yourself the right way. And this is why the church is in an uproar. This is why the church is in an uproar. Because you're not following the word of God. You're not sold out to the word of God. You're doing what you want to do. Pastor Sanders, what is your comment?
Good morning, darling. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, I'm just getting in. So I was actually muted out, but I was enjoying what I was hearing. I just wanted to say, in reference to your scripture that you were talking about, honey, on Psalms, the first chapter, is that a lot of people have gotten in the way. And what's happened is, instead of the church becoming the house of hope and the house of healing, a lot of times it's become the outhouse or the slaughterhouse for people to go through. If you know about a slaughterhouse, slaughterhouses where
yes,
you would send the pigs and the hogs, and they would kill en masse, so that they could be eaten by the people. In this case, a lot of them are being eaten by wolves, and a lot of men, and I'm not talking about men of God who are doing what God has called them to do. But I'm talking about hirelings or people that are just in it for the money or in it for themselves. They have literally used the church to set it up as a stage. And I'm not talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the house, the physical house.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take the name of God and slap it up on a marquee and open up a building and you get a choir, get a musician to entertain and tickle the folks' ears while at the same time emptying their pocketbooks as well as their souls, misleading
That's
their
right.
souls. Now, the thing is that people who know the word and don't do it, they will be beat with many stripes, and you will suffer the same judgment and the same fate as the leaders that you're following. And that's what's prevalent. We have a lot of people that know what's going on, that
mm-hmm.
know the truth about what's going on with leadership and with pastors, but yet and still they co-sign what they do. And not only do they co-sign, but when you pay your tithes and your offering and your money, when you do that, you also are financing their operations.
Yes, you are.
You finance
yes, you are.
These men to go on these trips or lavish vacations. And once again, I believe that the man of God should take his wife on vacation. When he's out in the field and doing the work of the Lord. I believe that a man's worthy of double honor when he's doing the work of God. But on the flip side, you don't need to pay for somebody to take their mistress to Hawaii and leave the wife sitting at home.
That's
or
wrong.
Take your mistress on, or take your wife, you and your wife go on a convention and you take the mistress along and you put her up. You house her in a hotel. You out in a separate hotel. And while he's supposed to be in a conference, he up jumping somebody else's bone somewhere else. Calling it, you know, pretty much what it is. That's really what's going on. And and some of them have more than one. And this is what you're financing. You're financing and co-signing. On all of this, and that's just not right. That's not a good use, a good appropriate use of tithes and offering and the saints' finance. Tithes are supposed to be used for the administration of the church, and
exactly.
not for padding someone else's pocket. Amen.
My point is this: is that the people that are in church are trying to get God, they're trying to get saved. And the ministries, the pastors are failing the leader, the sheaves. When sheaves review leadership in a different light, look at the fight that's going on before us, stuff that we just found out about, things we just heard about. You know, I don't care about all that other stuff. What I care about is leadership not living a godly life in front of the people. That's the last thing I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned about these men that want to go on trips and all that. I'm concerned about leadership not living right before the people and coming into an area where they can feel, oh, I can do what I want to do. No, you can't. That's the problem we have now. That's why you got guys that are picking on other preachers that they don't even know, and these preachers want to blow their freaking head off. I don't care about that. When sheaves review leadership in a different light, compromising to sin, that's what I'm dealing with. You are a pastor. You are a district superintendent. If you have a musician or a deacon or elder under your auspices that is a member of your church and they are causing rhetoric, why would you keep that dog in there? Why would you keep that? I won't even say dog. I would say wolf. Why would you want to keep that in there, Pastor Sanders? Answer that question.
Well, the thing is, why would you keep somebody in there when you have the truth laid out in front of you? When it's spelled out in front of you. You got all the facts. You got everything out in front of you spelled out. Handed to you in a basket with a little bow on it. And what that says is that speaks of judgment, of your judgment. So my thing would be is would there be something on that person, or is there something that that person might have over you?
Exactly.
That's giving you power. They have some type of power, or as the Bible says, it says in the Bible, stronghold.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kind of stronghold that they got, and they're using it to turn the screws, so to speak. But that's my opinion. And that's my opinion of it. And my opinion that I have is based on the Word of God. It's based on the Word of God, like you said in Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Of the ungodly. That's what I'm talking about.
And when you have people on your platform that just simply not right, what's wrong with what you're doing? The reason why you're not blessed and you don't have things coming to you is because of the counsel and the people that you're running with.
Exactly.
It's best to run by yourself and be right than to run around with a bunch of fools. You got all these fools sometimes that got these different organizations and these different ecumenical clubs and stuff that's popping up.
That's what I don't understand.
And some of those men in some of them clubs are rapists, thieves, and homosexuals.
Exactly.
And that's what I have a problem with. And that's what I personally have a problem with.
I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. I literally don't understand it. And my thing is, then you bring these people into the church, or they come in there, and my thing is, leaders, if these people don't play for you, why are they even in your midst? Why would you want to be a dummy and let these folks come into your church, wreak havoc, and sit up there and outright lie to you in front of your face? What kind of foolishness is that? That's what I'm talking about. And I don't care who hears it. I don't care. Dad Mason did not set this church, the Church of God of Christ, up to be a bin of foolishness. He built this church based on prayer, holiness, and sanctification.
Amen.
And if they want to do what they want to do,
Amen.
They need to get out of the Church of God of Christ and do whatever they want to do. You ain't got to stay. Leave.
Well, they need to get out of the no matter what church they're into. They need to get out of it. Because once again, you're still standing in the way. You're still in the way of people coming to Christ.
Exactly.
No matter where you're at. This thing is global. This thing is international. This thing is worldwide. We live in an age where you're in multimedia. And if somebody get a picture of your behind on the East Coast, your behind can be seen in Australia in a matter of seconds.
So when
sin is exposed like that, I think correctness and repentance should be just as immediate if the heart is right.
Exactly.
You know, they won't respond at all, or they will respond when damage control gets out of control. Then all of a sudden
exactly.
They want to respond and try to fix things up and try to make it look all sugary.
No.
In the case of this one young man to say, oh, they lying on me, they picking on me.
No, they ain't.
It's not me. I didn't do it.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did, and they know they did. They know
they
did.
Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't. Everybody picking on me. Everybody bothering me.
Ain't
nobody picking on
me.
That's what I see. And it's not indigenous to one denomination, but this thing goes on all over the place.
It's really gotten
out of control. And what's going on? With the thing that gets me, honey, is that what's going on is the people of God, the lay members, the one who supports these people, have tucked their heads in the sand and stuck their behinds up like ostriches and not doing anything. And what the leaders are doing, they kick them in the butt and say, if you take your head out the sand, I'm going to kick you harder.
Well, how about this? For those who were following behind a lot of the stuff that we just, you know, came let me tell y'all something.
They should be on the blog talking. They should be commenting.
Well, no, they're not going to talk because you know why? They're cowards, they're punks, and they're wusses. Let me tell you something. For those of you all who sit up and listen to a lot of these guys that under heavenly behind your back do dirty stuff, and you talk about you coming out with your guns too, let me explain something to you. When you fool with another side of the world and you piss off a nasty group of people, this ain't no little niggas on the street. These folks will tap your family and kill your family to get to your supporting behind because you ain't right. So all of them, that includes up here in Chicago. For you all to not know everything that went down, you need to shut up.
You need to do that, or you need to find out what's going on. You need to investigate the truth.
Find out what's going on. Don't sit up there
find
and
out what's going on. Ask questions.
And that includes family that's up on social media talking about who don't mess with who, and they talking about your family, you idiot.
Yeah, they talking about your family, and they talking about your friends,
family,
and you really don't know, and you really don't know what's going on. They used to have a saying when we were kids. You walk around with your nose all snotty. If you don't know what the game is all about, you better ask somebody.
You better check the facts.
Yep, check the facts and look into what's going on.
And understand, if you ain't saved, then cool, then you shouldn't comment. But my thing is this, I don't like leadership. I don't like what we have heard over the last few days. I'm very angry about it. And I promise you, nobody better call me because I will come to their church. I literally will come to their house. You know, honey, I know how to find people. They think that all these folks from the East Coast are dangerous. I already got a list of what I want to do for years. I will come and fight you head up because I don't like sin, and I don't like people who portray to be sin, to be saints of God, but you doing nothing but causing the dissension and lying. And all you gullible church folks, oh, well, you know, forgive them. Yeah, right. You forgive them and suffer, and they do you in again. Tell me how stupidity really is. They continue to wreck your life. They continue to wreck your church. But now, guess what? The fool and the idiot that didn't done it got to come up with another master plan because I already know what they're about. No good, unsaved dogs. Don't deserve to be in the world. You don't love God.
Amen.
You don't love Jesus Christ. You don't love the Bible. You are self-centered, pompous, uneducated dogs that have no sense of life. God gets tired.
Amen.
That's why the judgment, every time somebody do something stupid, the judgment of God comes up on everybody. I'm tired of these folks doing what they want to do, and then we got to sit here and get punished for it. I'm like Nino Brown. The guy, the preacher told him, Nino Brown, your soul is required in hell. I'm waiting because we need leaders that love God, that is not afraid to stand on God's word, that will defend and talk up against evil. That's what we need. We don't need no cruises. We don't need no lavish vacations. We need leaders that have the heart of God. We need leaders that don't care. We need leaders that will run leaders out when you're wrong. We need those join and you want to watch, folks want to join the game. Yeah, I'm tired. I ain't pacifying nothing. I can care less about luxury. What I care about is people being saved, souls being delivered, people being set free. God is shaking this church up. God is shaking this church up. And when he's shaking up, everybody is messed up. Well, I didn't went over. I'm sorry, y'all, but I'm angry this morning. I'm angry. I'm very angry. I'm angry. I got a war with Satan. I got a war with Satan. I got a war because his war consistently continues to come among us. Leaders, if you want to be a dog, get out of the church. If you want to whore around, get out of the church. If you want to be a slut, get out of the church. If you want to be a dope dealer, get out of the church. If you want to be a pimp, get out. Get out. We don't need you. We don't need you. We don't want you around our children. We don't want you around the people that are trying to get saved because you're poison. I'm sorry. Gotta go. Listen, we'll be back later on. Remember, live holy.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes. Y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI. Say, Lord,
I really want
to live
my life totally
pleasing unto thee.
Like this.
Please.